Welcome to the Supercoach Champions podcast with your hosts, Wilfred Z, Joe Fitz, and other Supercoach champions.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish as always. I'm not riding solo for once on a Wednesday. I've got a guest with me, a familiar voice. You haven't heard him for a little bit, but it's the 2021 overall champion, Tim Moody. You probably hear him on the SC Experience, who I think you guys are flying high, mate. How's it going, Timmy?
Yeah, going pretty good. Savvy Boy on our show's killing it at the moment. He's right up there, ranked 18th, so cheering him on. Wish I could say I was somewhere around there myself, but yeah, it's been a tough one.
How are you traveling? Because the listeners know how poorly I am, so hopefully you're going to be able to lend a bit of credibility to the podcast tonight.
Yeah, started off super slow. I think it was like about 50,000th or something. I've only just sort of recently scraped into 15,000th. After a good week last week, I was like went from 30,000th to 15,000th. And I was just sort of sitting here thinking in the pre-record, what do I put that down to? And I kind of think my starting side was pretty good, except for I was annoyed I started with Harry. I changed that quickly and went down to Appy, which hasn't really turned out, but it freed up the 200K for me to do other things, which I'm happy with. I also started with Brown, which I quickly got rid of him and went to Brooks to free up 200K. So that just sort of allowed me to do that quickly, and I'd started improving in the center wing. So that's helped me get my side a bit better. But look at my side and I go, geez, I've got a lot of good players. I've got all the cheapies. Like, I don't know why I'm doing so bad, but I think I've just had a couple, every week I've had like a couple of underperformers that have just, you know, whether it's one on my bench that I've just got the wrong guy and I've never got a good captain either. So, you got to get these more of these things right than wrong, and I've just been a bit more on the wrong side and, you know, close to par, if anything, most weeks. But yeah, let's hope it turns around.
Yeah, look, it sounds like you're already trending in the right direction. You're making some bold moves there.
My side's stacked now. I really like it, yeah.
That's hot. That's awesome. I've just been cursed by injury, so I'm going to blame that. But yeah, look, you talked about being 50,000, but I think I've only had one round where I've been ranked below 50,000, so I'm still climbing up there. But hey, I think when I dropped to, 83,000 in round three, and I'm like 57 now. So slowly but surely, I'm still, you know, team's taking shape. It just would be nice to have a week where I don't have at least one or two injury inspired trades that I've got to make, but yeah, who knows?
Well, it's not enjoyable to be not ranked well, but to be fair, like at least you've actually got an excuse. Like not to, I've had like Dom Young cop the minus 15. You know, that's one thing. We're all going to get those along the way, but you've been absolutely riddled. So yeah, at least you've got an excuse. I wish I could sort of put it down to something like it's not my fault, but yeah.
I think the painful thing is like, yeah, look, the scores in my, you know, those guys like Dom Youngs and the Liam Henrys and, you know, all your single digit scores, like that's fine. That happens. It just, when it all happens to your team and then you're fixing those issues and then you're just behind on everything else. Like,
yeah,
I hate identifying players where we're like, I think this guy's going to go off, but I can't get him in this week because I got to do this, this and this instead. And you watch them kill it, and then everyone else listens, and they jump on, and you know, which is great. You know, listen to the advice, but just stop being ranked better than me, man.
Yeah. It's all right, bro. You'll turn around.
Look, you just got to trust the process, right?
That's it, my man.
Anyway, it's good to have you back on again. Obviously, it's been a while, and yeah, look, we are all busy, and apart from SE Experience, you guys have obviously got it's on the burst, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks for remembering. I appreciate that.
It's good. I haven't listened as much as I want to, but
it's a good one this week. We actually go through, like, we pick our top, we do a draft pick of the best 1 to 13. Pick a player in each position, 1 to 13. We do a draft sort of live and that's pretty good. I actually smash Savs. My side's so much better on form. He just got a bit wacky and creative, and yeah, it's not super coach, but I don't know. He makes some bold moves there, but yeah, my team looks mad, so I enjoyed that. And then we had the bingo, which I told you about, which is quite fun. I noticed there was a wedgie during the weekend, so we're now looking out for a whole bunch of other random things like wet wheelies and sack whacks and a whole bunch more. So
Love it.
Check it out. It's a good one this week.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, so definitely check that out. All right, look, let's get into some Supercoach chat.
Let me clue you in. We need a numbers guy. Get Wilfred.
All right. Courtesy of our good mate, Carl McGrath, accountant. If you want to make sure you're not fudging your numbers when it comes to your taxes, make sure you get Carl to help you out. We are crunching the numbers today, and I'm looking at fullbacks, in particular how fullbacks are going against various teams. So yeah, I've pretty much gone through all 17 teams and looked at how fullbacks have scored against them. I'm not going to drop all those numbers on you because that'd be pretty boring. I want to bring out some highlights though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because obviously we love fullbacks. We love the ceiling. We love how the fullbacks are starting to warm up. The guys are really going quite well now. And we've got some really juicy matchups coming up. Like, I think we're starting to get to the point where we know that the good teams and the bad teams, some of those are a little bit surprising, but it's obviously exciting times. And this will probably link us to our captaincy chat a little bit later. But let's start off with this one. I always like a bit of a guessing game. Who would you say would be the toughest team for fullbacks to score against this year?
I'm going to go random, and I'm going to say maybe the Tigers.
The Tigers is not actually a bad guess. I was surprised when I looked at the numbers. So right now, currently the Tigers are conceding 55.6 points to opposition fullbacks. So that's pretty hot, honestly, for the Tigers.
That's like half of you expect gun fullbacks to be sort of like ripping them up and averaging about 100 for the Tigers. So they're doing great. Okay, yeah.
So it's not a bad guess, but they're not quite number one.
It's not Panthers, is it? Like, that seems too obvious.
No, in fact, the Panthers are 55.8.
So but
they are obviously up there.
I feel like, it's probably not something I'm thinking of. It's not the Storm because they haven't been great. Oh, jeez. You might have to tell me.
Well, the Storm actually are currently the second. Part of that is because they've gotten to play some replacement fullbacks. So that's helped them a little bit. But they've conceded 50.4 points to opposition fullbacks.
Okay.
And the only noticeable score against
it's the Sharks, isn't it?
It's not. They're 55.8. So on par with the Panthers. Look, some of this is skewed because like some of these guys have played one less game. And then I've kind of removed games where, say, like Teddy going down in 20 minutes or whatever. Some of those games have been removed. So it's a small sample size, but look, I'll put you out of your misery. The Raiders, 40.5 points opposition fullbacks.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because they've been,
They're flying. But I will preface all of that by saying they've only had four games where the fullback lasted 80 minutes. So it's a smaller sample size, but they are doing very, very well right now. It's the green brick wall. To be honest, the best fullbacks that have gone against them. So Kalen Ponga, obviously round one, only scored 50. So yeah, to be fair, they shut him down pretty well. In round two, it was Dream Buller. He scored 57. In round three, it was Tuipiki who got hurt mid-game. So I've discounted that score. That's why I've not included it. Round four, Will Kennedy only scored 27 points, which it's not that, the Sharks didn't score any points. It was just none of them came from Kennedy. And then last round, in round five was Gutho, who just got absolutely shut down. So only scored 28, which is very low for him, especially when there's no Moses and he's got goal kicking as well. And then last round, obviously a bit of a mixed one with Jaden Campbell only lasting 60 odd minutes. So I've not included that as well. But yeah, Raiders right now, don't captain fullbacks against them, basically, is where I'll put that one there. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the other side. I mean, this one might be a little bit easier for you. What team would you say is the team that's conceded the most to opposition fullbacks?
They're Titans.
The Titans is a pretty safe bet. They're actually second right now.
It's not.
But
okay.
90.4 points per game. Look, to be fair, the other guess is only slightly better.
Oh, okay. The Bunnies.
86.5 points per game to opposition fullbacks. So again, they're like, you know, bottom four. So you love captaining against them, but they're not the number one right now. This might surprise you.
It's honestly not the Warriors.
It surprised me when I looked it up.
Because I know they've had a lot of high scores, yeah, against fullbacks, which is, yeah.
It's not. The Warriors, they're third, yeah. 86.7 for the Warriors. So they are conceding a lot to fullbacks, even though they're still playing pretty well. And they've scored plenty of points themselves. So it's not the Warriors.
Tell me, because,
it is a very surprising one, though. Look, I'll put you out of your misery. It's the Seagulls, 90.5 points per game. And, yeah, you look at the names. So Latrell Mitchell, 110 in round one, and then round two, Teddy, 103. Round three, it was Guthrie for 40, so that's the only one poor score in this lot. Round four, you had even Tyrell Sloan got 75 against them. Round five, Dylan Edwards, 119. Look, that is a little bit inflated where he's got the goal kicking right now. So I guess, you know, maybe drop that a little bit. And then rounds.
Oh, but some fullbacks have it. So yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, and then Chance, last round, 96 on that. So yeah, Seagulls, captain happily against them, but similarly Titans and Warriors and Souths.
So what you're telling me is Philip Sammy's going to ton this week.
He could. Look, he's in the fullback position. He's gotten some massive, massive games where he's just managed to score like 60 in base and base attack, just huge base stat numbers. And then, you know, if he gets some attacking stats, then absolutely he could ton up. So, yeah. Look, I thought it was really interesting. Some names I thought was quite – some team names that I was surprised by. But, yeah, like I said, I think we're getting to the point where it does – start to fall into place. Like the bad teams are consistently being bad and the good teams are, you know, consistently being good. But there are some obviously good teams like the Warriors who are still conceding plenty to opposition fullbacks. So,
but Manly are a good side too. So normally you just target sides that are losing. You know what I mean? That's the way you sort of, I'll play my fullback against this losing side that's getting smashed 30-0. But, you know, what you're bringing up is that some of these sides that are still quite good winning games and have great attack, but maybe they're leaking points across the board, but specifically to that position. Nice deep dive.
Yeah, look, hopefully you guys got something out of that, but get in touch with Carl. Tax time is not too far away. Definitely get Carl to do your tax return. He'll legally maximize your tax refund. Whether it's just a basic tax return or you're accounting for things like rental properties, capital gains on share trading, even crypto, Carl can help you out, record everything correctly. There is no job that's too big or too small, whether it's a small individual tax return right through to businesses, run through companies, partnerships, or trusts. Carl can help you out. And yeah, trust that Carl, he's the guy who's going to do everything for you. He's a small business owner. He's not outsourcing to juniors and you know, minions doing the work for him. It's Carl that you'll be talking to. So Carl also wants me to remind you guys that he is doing a special for Supercoach Champions podcast listeners, $99 for a basic tax return. Or if you don't have a basic one, he'll still look after you on price and definitely chew your ear off about a Supercoach as well. And he wants to remind everyone that if you are a client of his, you'll be able to be part of the Number Crunches Unlimited group. And he obviously has a free tax return available as the prize for whoever wins come end of season. So jump in there if you're a client. Or if you want to become a client and then jump in there and get your taxes done at the same time. Not a bad gig for doing Supercoach and getting taxes done. But yeah, get in touch with Carl. That's Carl McGrath, McGrath on the social medias. And yeah, have a chat to him. All right, let's talk captaincy.
Look, man, I only need to know one thing.
Who the hell is this guy?
You and the chosen one!
I had a choice.
This is your captain speaking.
All right. So, look, I think the deep dive this round is pretty helpful, I believe, for the captaincy chat. There are some pretty good fullbacks in the NRL, especially for Supercoach. But let's start at the early games. You know, firstly, we like to find some vice captaincy options with the Roosters, the Storm, even the Dragons and the Warriors. I think those are the games I'd be looking at a vice captaincy from here. Any names that jump out to you straight up?
I probably feel like the first game between the Roosters and Melbourne should be super competitive. So there's probably still going to be some decent scorers in there, but I don't feel like any of them are really great standout. So I think the Waz Dragons game, Friday, first game, 6 o'clock is probably the way to go. If you've got SJ, you know, vice captain him, Dallin, vice captain him. I don't think RTS has got the upside that you would go, I'm going to loop that. He's just got the sort of score that you go, I'll take that, and I'm happy with that in my side. Probably not even, you wouldn't want a straight captain. I don't think you're comfortable he's going to get 80, 90 even, so he seems more like a sort of 70 guy. But, you know, Lomax is popular this week as well. People are bringing him in. I wouldn't mind him as a vice captain. But, yeah, I like those. It was the early two games. Maybe Dylan Brown, if you got him in the next game, v the Dolphins.
Yeah, I definitely have concerns for the Dolphins this week with so many injuries. So I think that's a great shout with Dylan Brown seemingly coming to a little bit of form, at least for Supercoach purposes. So no, I totally agree with that. The only other name I'd throw in there just for the Waz is I think Chan's a bit of an underrated pod option at fullback. You know, he's only been back for two rounds, but 88 and 96. If I'm not mistaken, this same matchup last year, I think he might have hit 145.
Yeah, it was 140-something, yeah.
Yeah, 145 exactly. So, yeah, obviously you don't associate ceiling generally with Chan's, but last year he definitely did, and then that was in the same matchup. So, yeah, one to consider there. Otherwise, you know, you come to the next matchups, you're really in captaincy range, and the first one, look, he's my captain this week, Tommy Turbo, gets the Titans. As we highlighted, they concede plenty to fullbacks. Tommy loves playing the Titans, and I still remember not having Turbo in my team when he went 194 on them a couple of years ago. Of course, I also do remember the time where I captained him and he scored 9 because he did his pick and was out for the game and for the season as well. So buyer beware, because he is my captain. But yeah, look, it's hard to argue with the numbers. Look, I think with the Broncos and the Raiders, I generally stay away from this matchup as much as I think the Broncos could score some points. The Raiders are, you know, like I said, it's the green brick wall. They are very tough against fullbacks, so probably not a good one for Reece Walsh there. The next one, Bulldogs and the Knights. Obviously, the Knights, you know, Kellen Ponga is absolutely on fire. And the issue is, though, he's got this hit pointer concern. And look, it sounds like he's trending to play, which is positive, but there's still whispers that he may not goal kick, or maybe he's not going to kick as well as he normally does, which is a bit sad. Obviously, he's on this, he's on a streak, right? He hasn't missed a goal for all season. I think he's stemming from last year, something like that, which is pretty cool. He's 18 from 18 so far this year.
Yeah.
So
I think his record's 19 from 19, they said last week in commentary too.
Oh, okay.
So
he kicked the goal, I didn't realise.
No, his record was 19 from 19. He went on a streak from 19.
His own personal record.
Yeah, so he's going, he's trying to beat that now, yeah. But yeah, I'd probably avoid too.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, the guy's on fire.
Yeah, I'd avoid because of the hit pointer. He's going to be needled up, but maybe if he just cops a whack, even if it's needled up, maybe it still affects and hurts still, even when you're numbed up there. I don't know. And you just saw how much he was limited in the first half until he came off and got that needle. Once he got that whack, he could be doing, he could attach the ball and just pass someone straight away. So, yeah, be reluctant. I'm happy enough to hold him.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that take there. And I guess the final game of the round, the Sharks at home against the Cowboys, who I think, let's face it, they just aren't as good away from Townsville. They do struggle when they have to travel. So does this bring Nicho Hynes into the conversation as a captaincy option?
For sure, especially if you're not a Turbo owner, and even if you are a Turbo owner, I thought about this because he's such a red-hot popular option this week. It might be a cheeky play to put the VC on Turbo just in case something, an injury goes wrong, an injury happens or something like that. And then because that many people are on him as their captain, you know, you could then take advantage of that just because so many people are doing it. If that rare thing happened, then you go elsewhere and you know, somebody scored 10 after an injury and then your captain doesn't even have to go massive, does 80. You've made up loads of points, but if your captain goes 110 plus or something like that, you've made up loads of ranks and stuff. So that's a cheeky little way to go against it. You probably have to cap an AE if he goes massive and you have to loop him, but could be a cheeky way to zig when others zag with insurance. It doesn't mean you're going against Tommy, but it could be a cheeky zigzag play there. But yeah, I don't mind Nicho. I think this is a good matchup for him. I like it. And you know, people are a bit off because he's been underwhelming, but I still think that he's good for, you know, that one attacking play in the game to get him to 80 at least. So, but yeah, surely there's one try assist, two try assists or something, not many this year. So he's going to have a breakout game.
Yeah, as you say, people are a little bit off him, but he's still currently sitting at 12.1%. Ponga's at 14%, and then Tommy Turbo 11.9%. So those are your three most popular options this round so far. And then you got SJ, you got Val Holmes, Pappenhausen, Drinky. Yeah, there's a few other names, but they're all like sub 5% captaincy at the moment. So yeah, the sneaky VC on Turbo and C on Nico is definitely a viable play. I like that. And obviously depends on your AE situation. But yeah, it's a good shout there, Tim.
And also whether you can actually make that happen too, just because of your non-playing reserve. You'd have to check.
Yeah, if you've still got like a Rabbitohs player on a buy, then that helps, obviously. Otherwise, yeah, you might be looking at pretty restricted options, so you might not be able to make that loop happen. So make sure you prep your team, obviously, and work out if it's going to be viable for you. But yeah, I think that wraps up our captaincy chat for this week. Let's dive into a little bit of strategy.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, so this is a question that Joe and I kind of already had a go at yesterday and yesterday's episode, so, but I'd love to hear your take on it, Tim. So this week we're looking at some pretty, you know, chalky trades. Like there's some clear standout cash cows, cheapies that we want to jump on. You know, your likes of Kale Iro, the Tamari Martin, and even like a Bronson Sherry if you don't or you already got one of the other guys. And there's some juicy options like Angus Crichton or Sean Bloor, kind of negative break even in the mid range option, could score some good points. Is it a viable option to skip one, two of these guys and just chase after like a, you know, maybe like a fallen keeper who's a juicy price, say like a Fanua Blake at front row forward or someone like that, you know, another, maybe like a Greg Marju or even going all in on Ruben Garrick, who's got a massive break even, but he's obviously got a fantastic matchup.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think for sure it's a lot to these questions. If you sort of want to tackle it and be cheeky, you can just ignore it and just sort of go those, you know, Ruben Garrick guys, because they're going to score more points. And at this time of the year, that's what we're kind of needing. Everyone's teams are getting a bit better. And if you're just focusing on each week and you end up sort of going a bit sideways with other guys having to cover with injuries throughout the space, you don't end up getting these mad upside guys. So I think you've got to get them sometimes, but I think you can mix it as well. You can get, you know, one of the, you don't have to, they might all look very appealing. You might go, oh, Iro looks so good. And I also like Crichton and, you know, but you might not want to get two. You don't have to get both. Get one of them. You know what I mean? And then also get a gun like Garrick or get a gun like Lukawatu, or maybe you want to bring in SJ or something to cover in the halves for sure. Yeah, I think sometimes people just see, oh, this guy's going to make, you know, potentially 200K and he's scoring really well, so I have to take that value. That's true, but you don't want to also just be sticking, you know, your side with guys that are 100K undervalue, but they're scoring 30 points less than other people that you're going up against in that position sort of thing. So you've got to balance that out for sure. But I think the guys you'd have mentioned are all great shouts. Like I started with Kale Iro, really like him. He might lose his spot potentially when everyone comes back in that side with Talakai going back. But my gut feeling is he keeps that spot and Talakai will stay on the bench and someone else in that side will drop out like a Kafusi or there's a couple other sort of fringier guys that, you know, they could probably drop out. And I still think Talakai offers a lot off the bench, bit of impact, not so much as like what he does, you know, through the middle. But if there is an injury in any of that back line, they're sorted there. If an injury in the, you know, the back in the second row, they're covered. So for that factor, I think it's really smart. And he can also offer stuff on the field. So I think, and because Iro is so good, if you can't pick, if the coach is going, geez, how do I hold back this Iro guy who's NRL like gun level for a junior? Like he's 24 years old, so he's not like that 19-year-old junior sort of guy. It's a bit less risky. He's solid and he looks very good. I don't think you can keep him out of the side. Someone else, another club will end up snapping him up or something. You got to keep him happy. So I think the dynamic for the side is having both there. So I think he's a good one. Gus, Angus, I think he's going to keep that spot on the left edge for 80 minutes. He's just playing too good. The other guys aren't looking, and you know, that have been given that bottle, giving it a go, not looking anywhere near as good. That it's like he's demanding it. So, yeah, and at that price, it's like very cheap. What is it for? Is it 420 or 470? It's 450, somewhere around that.
About 460 now, I think. Yeah, yeah, it's gone up a bit.
It's anything under 500K. No, so
I agree.
Yep. So those two particularly I really, really like. And the other, I also like Bloor. I think he looks great. There's a little bit of minutes concerned with Chan on the bench, but maybe Chan plays for a bit and doesn't play many minutes. So, yeah, if you like him and you really like this, what the Storm are doing there. And, yeah, even Sherry, like, at that price, if you already got Eero like I do and you need to, I think he looks great. I think his job security is good too. Like, they've got so many moving pieces at the Dogs where they can play different things, but he's an out-and-out center, and he looks very good there. So, yeah. I think, balance it out. You don't want to be bringing all three in, though. You don't want to be going, I'm going to bring in Gus, Eero, and one of these other cheapies. Like, that's too cash generation focused and not point focused. The only reason you'd be doing that is you're doing that because that's the way I'm freeing up to get clear next week, so I'm taking a hit now or something like that. But maybe there's a bit of whispers that maybe Cleary's not going to be right to go the next week, that just other people are saying. It's not come from anywhere yet, but you never know. So, yes, I reckon spend the money, I'm spending mine.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because I'm currently thinking, yeah, I could get two of them, and then I was maybe going like Totola up to Fenua Blake just to really shore up my front row forward and just lock in my buy coverage as well. But I am tempted to go with Angus. I do like the look of some prime Angus. And
yeah, the only reason I say it's tough because Eero's 200K and it frees up heaps of cash, and that's for that sake good. He's going to probably make, you know, potentially could go up to like 500. Could be, if he keeps that spot, he could even, I love him that much. And he reminds me so much of Val Holmes, the way he moves, he zigs, zags. It's very much like the fade may also throw a bit into it, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, same haircut.
Yeah, but they look so much similar in the way they just run, they play. It's crazy. It's tough. But then Angus is a definite, like, proven keeper as well. So probably won't play Origin, hold him through 400K. You know, a lot of us like, because I've spent up in the last 2 weeks 700K on each of these players, on Olakau'atu and Eli Katoa. I'm now that what I've seen on Angus, I'm pretty confident he's going to at least match Eli Katoa, and probably even could beat him in average. Because Eli Katoa's got low ones. He does have the big ones, but they're balanced out. He'll have, you know, 80s, 90s, 100s, but there'll be, you know, a lot of 40s in there as well. So, yeah, for the people wanting to spend up in their second row or get a gun second rower, you're getting a gun second rower for. That's kind of like why I ran in and jumped in on Curran a couple of weeks ago, well before he was going to get his duel, before he was going to go up, and I wanted to get him a bottom dollar just because I'm like, if I can get a prop, that I'm going to keep at 400K, lock him in there. So that's why I kind of think for Angus, if you kind of can get him in at that spot, you just plug him in. It's kind of like KPP. I don't think I'm going to sell KPP in my side either. I think they could be just, if you then, you know, I picked him up at, you know, not as cheap as, you know, some that got him at 370, but I got him at like 450, 470, and still was like, yeah, he's a keeper.
Yeah, I was a week late as well. So right there with you. I think, like, Angus, like, his worst-case scenario is, like, he's still going up to two rounds where he's going to make some nice cash. And even if he suddenly only plays 60 minutes or whatever, because we haven't seen a full rotation yet. Both games, the Roosters have had injuries or HIAs or something like that that's impacted the minutes. So that's the only hesitation. But it's a very minimal downside, as you say. Even if he's playing 60 minutes, he's still underpriced based on what he's going to dish out. So, yeah, like, it's a pretty safe bet. And if he gets 80 minutes, then you're laughing. As you say, yeah, season-long keeper, great buy coverage if he doesn't play Origin. And I don't think he's playing Origin. That's just my guess. But, yeah, no, I love it.
The reason I also preference Angus is just purely because even if he does go back to 60 minutes, you know he's in the side. Whereas with Eero, as much as I back that I think that he's going to stay there, and a lot of other people might look and go, oh, yeah, he's very good as well. I think he'll stay there as well. Maybe he doesn't when the others come back. And, yeah, his break-even's minus – it was not minus 100 and something like his was. And, you know, if he does come out and just score a 30 this week, he scored 40 something last week. And it's like, great, maybe he doesn't make the side. You know, and you've only got someone that's maybe going to be like a 270K sort of similar place to Lungy sort of thing. Whereas even if you brought Angus in and say he was dropped to the bench in a couple of weeks and it really annoyed you had to sell him, at least he's got value to sell. Whereas Earl might not if a problem happens. So that's where I'm leaning just with that as well too.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. I guess like if he scores 46, apparently he's gone up 103K. So
wow.
I think he's still going to be a decent
decent
mover. Yeah, he's on negative 76 break even. So he's got money coming in. I want to jump over to a couple of questions from the champs. So from Harry in the champs Discord. So he's asking, is it worth my second last boost to bring in Earl, Angus and Tamari Martin for Poasa, that's Farmacilli, Talangi and Bostock?
Nah, pick two of them. You don't need a boost to get three midi and cheapies. Like that's messy. Pick two. And there'll be another one of these other guys that you want to offload. There'll be another cheapie to present in the next week or two. There's cheapies coming out of our ass. You know, we thought there was going to be none, but they're just coming. Chevy Stewart, who knows, hold a spot. You know what I mean? Maybe they just go, look, yeah, we're going to do that. Rapanas doesn't have the legs in him. Let's just stick him on the wing. Let's get Fox here. Well, you know what I mean? Like there could be loads more that pop up too. I wouldn't be doing three of them, man. Don't boost. Pick two. I'd be going Angus and Earl, I'd say. I don't mind Tamari. But then again, like he's only really averaged. I looked at him, had a bit of a dive into his stats, and he's kind of he averages around mid-30s. Mid-40s is good for him. So, yeah, he's killed it the last couple of weeks, and it looks very nice, and the Wilds look good. But he's been playing since 2016. He's a pretty big sample size there.
I do think for him there's been a bit of a mixture. Like he's, you know, spent time on the bench. He's moved different teams. You know, he had the brain bleed. It's been a pretty eventful career for him.
Yeah, but he wasn't bleeding from the brain. He wasn't from the brain, you know, the whole time.
No.
He just stopped because of it sort of thing. But look, I'll bring up one thing I found. So, yeah, he's had 42 games in the halves and it's a 47 average while in the halves. So I bump that average of 30s, I'll say, in average career. Take out all those others, you know. So it's not a massive slam dunk. He's probably in a better side maybe than what he's been in the past. Maybe you could bump that up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's fair. If I was skipping one, it'd probably be Tamari Martin as well, depending on obviously who you have at 5'8". So I think that's a good shout. Now, added context, would it change if you were ranked, say, in the top 3,000 as opposed to, you know, 30,000? Do you think if you're ranked a little bit higher, you might push a bit harder to try get to the top 500, 100 even?
Yeah, but I wouldn't be freaking out about trying to get my rank up too much. I'd just be trying to improve my side each week with a new strength. Like find that weakness in your side and get that what you can afford. You might be like, oh, I need a new center winger. You don't need to be like going, I need to get three guys, I need to do it all now, I need to, you know, just make it gradually, let it do it, work itself out gradually. From 3,000, you'll, especially with the buyers coming up and stuff, I wouldn't be going mental with trade. You can just sort of chill.
Marathon, not a sprint, right?
That's right.
All right, I like that. It's a good insight there. Next question comes from Sidestep, again from the champs Discord. So what do Levi owners do if you already have Harry Grant? Obviously, Levi has already made $134,000. He's got a break even of 54, which even if he scores a try, that's above what he would normally dish up as far as the score goes. So, yeah, I mean, do you think, he's probably not an urgent, you have to get rid of him this week, but he will bleed a little bit most likely unless he gets over for a double or something like that.
How much does he go down to below three? He doesn't have that potential to go below three, does he, really?
Not in 1 week. Not in like, 1 week.
No. But I'm thinking, could you hold if you... Because, I've been enough holding just having one gun hooker, I think, for a lot of the part of the year, at least before Origin, I think. I don't think I'm going to be bringing in Grant before Origin.
He's already got Grant, though. So he's got Grant and Levi. That's the combo he's got already, so...
Yeah, and, I mean, you've got guys like Brayley from the Knights, who's like, it's a downgrade of about 60K. But is it worth the trade? How much more money do you reckon he makes? I don't know. I, I'm a Levi owner and I have Appy, so it's kind of in a similar spot to him where he's happy with his main hooker. So I'm kind of just like, I might just use, it's not probably the best technique, but I probably might use Levi as a downgrade to the cheapest guy I can find that's going to be an AE nightmare, if that makes sense, to free up cash to do other things, or just hold him and just not worry about him. I don't know. If he could go up to like Appy or something, that's nice, but then they're both probably going to play over Origin, and then you've got 1.3 million tied up in hooker. Do you sell one of them that you've just bought? You know, it's annoying. So yeah, I don't, what would you do, man?
Marshall King's my guy. Yeah. Marshall King.
Yeah. He's been off my radar, but he's someone I like.
Well, he plays all three big buy rounds, right? Which is massive. And then he also, aside from round 14, he covers the round after each Origin as well. So he pretty much complements Harry Grant almost perfectly. And you just lock and load that combo for the season. So that's why I really do like Marshall King.
Could you wait longer?
It doesn't have to be this week. I think I probably would wait a week. I wouldn't make that trade this week.
Could you wait a month?
Well, Marshall King's break even's around the 80 mark, and that's because he only scored 42 last round. Otherwise, he's been going pretty well. I don't think his price is going to spike or nosedive, but it's Levi that's probably the concern, unless he's going to get back to scoring tries again. Because Levi, I mean, like 18, that's his kind of around his base, basically. He'd be averaging around 20 to 25 if it wasn't for all these tries he's been scoring. So he's going to bleed the cash, and you know, that's the reason you probably do want to get rid of him while he's kind of at his peak, unless you think he's got some more attacking stats coming up. Which I wouldn't say Levi can't do that, because he's proven us wrong so far. But, you know, it's unprecedented the amount of tries he's scoring, right?
Yeah. So the way I'll answer this is, I think I'd be prepared if I've got bigger pressing issues in my side, like I need to bring in guys in other positions. Like I want to bring Cleary, or say you don't have enough good wingers or centers, and you want to bring in those guys over the coming weeks. Do that. I'd be more focused on doing that than going, oh, Levi is going to drop 50k. Like if Levi drops 50, it kind of sucks over the next month or something. But if even if he drops 100k, it's annoying. But I'd lose 100k, then be having a sort of go from him up to like, well, how much is it a jump in? Like it'd be at least 250k, wouldn't it, or 2k? That means you've got to
go from Levi to say Marshall King.
Yeah. So if you were going to say do that this week or the next week, that just feels icky to me, when you could still be like guys like Ruben Garrick. If you could be spending 300k to, you know, upgrade one of your center wings to bring in like a Ruben Garrick, or if you like the Lomax, because I think you'll go back to the center probably after this, go back to wing after this week. There's heaps of good, like, nice buys. Yeah, I don't know. That's just my strategy, but yeah, I'm prepared to lose money sometimes in a position if I'm making money elsewhere.
Yeah. I think that's a good shout. It's a nice way to look at it. I definitely can see the merit about kind of exploring that option there. I mean, I do think if you're downgrading, Jaden Brayley is probably the guy if you have to go this round. It's only a slight free up of cash, but I think Brayley's got some. He's getting the minutes we're expecting, and he's looking better and better each week. So it won't be long, I feel like, until he's going to get some attacking stats. It might even be this week against that Doggies middle. So I do think he's probably the downgrade option, unless, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the Rabbitohs, but Marmozelos is at 243K, obviously on the buy this round, but it could be if you wait a week for Levi, maybe he's the downgrade option in next week if he's named to start and there's still no Damien Cook in the team. He's going to play his third game, so that could be another option there. Otherwise, yeah, if you're upgrading...
That sounds like a trap, though.
Yeah, this is all sub, kind of suboptimal.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, for me, I'm pretty keen on Marshall King. Just really shores up that spot for the season, and the buy schedule is just gold as well. And he's no threat of Origin, obviously. So yeah, but at the same time, really like the way you've kind of mapped that out in terms of, well, if you're going to spend 250 to 300K on upgrading someone, if you're just trying to do that to avoid Levi losing 50K or 100K over the next couple of rounds, then do you maybe just make the trade elsewhere and maybe you splash on Tamari Martin so you get another cash cow to offset the cash that Levi is going to drop, and then you spend money upgrading at center wing instead? So I do like the way you've looked at it there.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's enough chat for this round. It's an interesting round again. I mean, have you kind of decided what your plans are?
Yeah. Well, I've changed from what I said on the Supercoach Experience podcast. I was, I actually thought I could bring in Angus and Viliami Kikau, by selling Lane and Burbo, but I couldn't afford that because I'm so bad at maths. I just looked at it and went, yeah, that'll work. I even then tried to go, can I sell Piakura, who I've been holding on, who's meant to come back next week? Can I do Piakura and Lane to those two players, Angus and Kikau? Couldn't afford it. So I've also very much wanted Ola Kawatu, and I should have got him last week. So I've gotten a little bit fruity. I'm selling RTS to bring in Ola Kawatu, and I'm going to be selling Lane to Angus. So I just think I'd prefer to have Ola Kawatu over RTS, especially what Ola Kawatu can offer me in the second row. I think he's the best, potentially the best second rower alongside with Fifita, whereas RTS isn't even in the top six centre wingers. He's been very, very good in NRL. So people that are, he's a perking up going, what are you talking about? He's been excellent in NRL and he looks great. He's doing great for the Wars, but it's just not translating to Supercoach with any upside. They focus, go a lot down that right side. And yeah, I just think that it won't hurt me not to have him. I like him, but it's just the way I can get Ola Kawatu in. So I'm going to do it. And my side is now pretty, I'm very staunch now. My side's pretty hectic and it hasn't been that hectic for a while. So,
yeah, I like that. I think RTS was a guy I actually avoided, not really actively avoiding from round one, but I thought, I mean, I paid off with Greg Marju. That's another story. But anyway, it backfired because he got hurt.
But that's a better pick. I would have. That's a better thing to do if you can pay up for it, I think.
Yeah. So again, backfired because he got hurt.
RTS averaged 71 or something. Only averages 71 back in his previous career, I think at fullback even, I think it was. I could be wrong on that, but I did a deep dive preseason and wasn't in by the start. He looked good in the trials.
Yeah, and again, that's why he was a very safe pick, and he's obviously still made some cash, but could lose a little bit. I think, you know, if you're convinced that Ola Kawatu is going to score a lot more, and as you say, you think he's number two alongside Fifita at that second row position, then you're locking in a guy for the season. So I definitely can get around the rationale behind it.
Going to play Origin, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm a little bit worried about. And I kind of think I'm looking at the Seagulls draw. Like, I know they have this great matchup, right, this week. And the next few rounds are pretty solid too. But they do have the Broncos and the Storm and also the Raiders leading up to, you know, that round 13 bye. And then even in round 14, it's the Panthers and then the Dragons and Rabbitohs afterwards. So I've kind of penciled in, like, if I'm going to just avoid Ola Kawatu until about round 15 is when I'm going to look at it. And that's obviously banking on him. If he's not picked for Origin, then yeah, I'll grab him in for round 15 and hopefully he'll cover the round 16 and round 19 bye for me. But yeah, otherwise I feel like, you know, the other guys, like, you know, I've got Eli Katoa, I've got KPP, you know, Angus is probably coming into my team this round. And then, yeah, like I don't think I'm missing too much by not having Ola Kawatu there compared to, you know, I can probably spend. I mean, I need to continue strengthening other areas.
Well, I've got all those guys you mentioned and Ola Kawatu. So
flexing yeah, me now.
I want to talk into him. No, I want to talk into him. I really like him, even though you say he's got those matchups that start a bit tougher after the good games that he's got now. Like you said, the Broncos, Storm. He didn't play the Broncos recently. Who did he play recently? Panthers, yeah. And like Ed, a couple weeks ago, they sort of, I feel like they use him more in the big games. That's what the Eli Katoa had a massive game against the Broncos, just running at Ezra Mam and stuff. So sometimes, you know, he's running at little halfbacks and he's the target close to the line. Like just the amount of times that they go to him, particularly, I think it was the Dragons game, he scored 94. They just were relentless. They did not stop. They just kept going there and going there. So I think his base is so good that you'll take his score every single week and there's going to be a couple of games that he scores two tries and it's going to go off.
Yeah, look, you don't need to talk me into him. I love him as an option. I just think for me, that's probably the way I'm leaning. I'm just going to wait a little bit longer for him. I get what you're saying, though, absolutely. I just think, you know, if I've got those kind of guys in my second row ready, I'm not sure, like, I need to keep shoring up second row. I've got to focus on other areas of my team because, maybe my team is not as hectic as yours. I'm leaning that other way. But, yeah, I think that's probably the main issue here.
I love that. You're funny. You're a very funny man sometimes. I like that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's good to know. Look, I think for me, I do have to go a little bit harder because I am so far back. So my fourth boost this round, I'm going to do the triple. I need the cash. I need the points. And I think I need some Angus Crichton in my life. So I'm going to do that chalk combo. But to me, because I'm quite set up for round 13 already, so I feel like I'm going to be able to ease off on trades. Like I don't need too much for buy planning purposes because I've already kind of been doing it along the way. So yeah, that's where I'm like, look, I've got to ease up on the trades. I will. And yeah, otherwise my team looks all right after I've done that.
So you're getting all three cheapy midi guys.
Yep. I'm going to do it this round. I think I need to because I've just copped so many injuries and cash losses here and there. And yeah, I mean, I'm a lot more bullish, I think, on Tamari Martin over the next few weeks. I think he's going to go well, and I like he could potentially be 600K in 3 weeks' time because the matchups are that good. So I'm going to roll the dice.
You're right. Yep. I don't mind that. Good on you. I back yourself. Back it, mate. Sorry, I just creeped in with a lot of doubt for you there.
Well, like I said, I just need to. I just need to, man. It's tough when you're this far back. But all right, thanks for jumping on. And it's always good to have you on. I love having a chat to you about Supercoach because I think we do think about things quite differently. And like, you make some really, really good points and I love hearing that. So appreciate you sharing your wisdom and your insight with us again. Remind the listeners where they can catch more of you on a weekly basis.
Yeah, so Supercoach Experience podcast and all the platforms and On The Burst, which is a sister podcast of Supercoach Experience, where we focus just on NRL chats, a bit shorter, lighthearted, few funnies. But yeah, get us on again, Wolf.
No worries. And yeah, you'll jump on in a couple of weeks' time. Hopefully we can chat some more and we'll see if I've made the wrong choice yet again with my triple cheapy midi option here. Sure. All right. Thanks again for jumping on. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you guys again soon.